my mother did not like seatbelts. And she, it wasn't that they were binding or whatnot. She didn't like to think about the possibility of having an accident. Fortunately, she used them, had an accident, and saved her life. I think that's the same with estate planning. You know, we don't want to get into this icky area about, you know, is it possible that I might die? You know, but
we're all going to live forever, right?
Exactly. I've got these pills that I'm right. going to sell you after the show. This is Tom O'Rourke. He's a well-known in the federal family. He's an attorney. He's an estate planner. I met him years ago. I went to a seminar out of town, and I plan to, they had dozens of seminars, and I plan to pop in on each one and say I'd done my duty and then go play.
Right.
What got into his and stayed for 4 hours.
Oh, wow.
Super, super good guy. And he makes an interesting point. A lot of federal workers think they're middle class, lower middle class, that don't have anything. But actually, if you've lived in, say, the Washington area for any length of time, if your house is close to paid off or is paid off, it's appreciated. Even with the cuts, it's appreciated. You have federal annuity. You mm-hmm. maybe have money in a 401k plan, the thrift savings plan. But through a variety of ways, you have acquired, you're worth a whole lot on the hoof and probably even more dead. And it behooves people to check it out, whether it's for a spouse, a significant other, or for your kids. And there are a number of things you need to do. I think, and I'm going to use it the wrong term, but you need a medical directive.
Right.
What happens if?
Living will or something like that.
And what's the difference between a will and a living will? Sometimes you need a partnership agreement. There are a variety of things. And he's going to talk about that, explain what they are. I'm going to try to get him to give me some cost estimates as to what they would cost.
Yeah, how much should you spend on this? I think that's the other thing that freaks people out.
Yes.
They think about that and they go, oh my God, I could mm-hmm. be spending thousands of dollars something that is a little, as we say, it's a little gruesome to think about.
I had one drawn up. It was literally about almost 10 years ago now. And I got a friend of the firm discount because I'd known all these people, but it was hefty. It was like $1,500, but I would have spent it foolishly somehow or other. And I do have that for the kids. And who do you make as the executor of your estate?
Right.
And several attorneys told me a long time ago, they said, all things being equal, and depending on where they live, you want somebody in the area for their sake,
Right.
But they said, all things being equal, if the kids get along, even as adults, if they get along, pick the oldest, because they're used to sort of taking orders from him or her, and they're the ones that come in and set the best place at the table and let, but also pick somebody that's geographically close to you, preferably in your state of residence.
Yeah.
And finally, one of them said, for a variety of reasons, you can tear apart a family. As we've all seen
horrible things happen.
Yeah, I've heard them. I haven't actually experienced, but I've heard some horrible stories. But he said, get somebody you trust, an outsider, preferably an attorney, state, or somebody with the bank, and let them be the executive of your estate. And the kids can turn their venom on that person, but they won't get angry with the person. And also, I said, what does something like that cost to be executive? And I think he said in the state of Maryland, it's limited to like 3% of the estate.
Oh, really?
So that's not bad.
Yeah.
And of course, you're not there to shell it out,
And so this conversation, of course, Wednesday morning and every Wednesday morning on Your Turn with Mike Causey at 10 a.m. right here on Federal
10 a.m. Eastern
Nature.
Daylight Time.
That's right.
And the shows we try to get people that focus on the money, some money issue, benefits, those kind of things. And this is one that everybody, whether you're active or retired, whether you're a man or woman, no matter what your income, and you don't have to be a Fed because an awful lot of people need a estate plan.
They say that, death and taxes are the two things that come.
That's right.
We're doing this HR series all week, mm-hmm. looking at the proposals that John Barry is looking at in reforming. And in fact, today we're talking to Robert Tobias, mm-hmm. of course, from American University. And he says that this is a unique time, that these things could actually maybe make the administration could make some progress. And yet we did a survey, Federal News Radio did a survey, and you see an incredible amount of skepticism amongst feds, saying, Yeah, been there, done that, heard that this was going to happen before. Does that surprise you at all?
Not at all. And, you know, they've been around. They've been through a number of reforms. Jimmy Carter had his civil service reform that was supposed to make things better. The Reagan people did some things. One thing that intrigues me, and this administration has not done it, at least so far, but it's the old, you've got to destroy the village to save it.
Right.
And the Carter administration's technique was to say that the government is full of incompetence because so few people are fired every year for incompetence, i.e., there must be a lot of incompetence out there, a lot of deadwood, and they wanted to, quote, reform the government. The Reagan administration came along and used a different thing. They said government pay is fine because look at the quit rates, how many people are leaving their jobs, because there was a recession at that time, too.
Right.
But they all seem to have to knock the civil service and beat it up terribly before they can, quote, fix it. So I think a lot of feds have been through that, and they've been through the reforms.
And these people don't, that's not what John Barry is saying. He's,
exactly.
From what I've heard him say, he's actually going, hold on, all these processes are actually hindering the federal government's ability to do it, carry out its mission effectively.
John Barry grew up in the D.C. area, so he is a child of inside the Beltway. And he has been in government most of his adult life, maybe all of it. We knew him way back when he was working with Steny Hoyer on the Hill,
a
very Fed-friendly member of Congress, now the
majority,
speaker,
leader,
majority leader. And he was with the National Zoo. He was with Interior. And now he's head of OPM. So he's very Fed-friendly. He likes the feds.
And gets
likes
these
the
issues.
Process. Yeah. And I think people were lucky. Those who got off were lucky that John Barry was in control of the snowmaking machine back just about 6 weeks ago. But yeah, no, this administration doesn't seem to have any animus toward federal workers or anything. They say they want to improve the system. Now, that said, and their intentions are noble, but as you say, from our survey, the results we're getting, people are skeptical, and they say it's been tried before.
And those devilish details, everyone worries about them, and particularly feds worry about those details because they've been through this before and been beaten over the head with
it. And, you know, one of the things, and I think I disagree with just about everybody around here in our shop about this, but we're always talking about speeding up the hiring process. And I think, to what end? Because now more than ever, the government is so security conscious. How are you going to speed up the process a great deal and yet keep bad apples out, you know, keep terrorists out of government or people like that? So I think that's something they need to be very careful of. You know, with this mantra, we got to speed it up, got to speed it up. One of the things, ways they, I think they could improve it is maybe not speed up the process so much, but keep you posted. Say, Chris Dorbeck, we received your application. It's under review. We will be in touch with you in 10 days. This is a lengthy process, but I know you understand. And I think that would be a major reform without speeding up the process too much.